And our New Testament text this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Listen again for God's word to you. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God bless to our understanding these readings from God's word. Did you ever think about what happened to the wise men when they went back home? Did they live happily ever after? Were their lives changed? After the shimmering splendor of the star's light and the wonder and mystery of having now at last peered into the center of their heart's desire, after all of that, did it make a difference back home on the mundane Monday morning of taking out the garbage and changing the diapers and paying the bills and figuring out the taxes and getting their teeth cleaned and all the thousand and one ways it takes to live our lives? The wise men had followed a star and were exceedingly joyful in their journey's end. But was it really their journey's end, since it was necessary for them to return to their own country? They did not remain in the royal beauty bright of the star, but being warned in a dream of Herod's deadly intentions, they changed course and returned to their homes by another way. But what was life like for them afterwards, after the star, in the cold light of day? Did it really matter? After our anticipation and the celebration and wonder of Christmas Eve and the songs of the angels, does the spirit of Christmas burn away like the morning fog? When it's time to drag out the tree and straighten up the house and get back to school and work, are we like the wise men going back home to our own country? In his poem, For the Time Being, W.H. Auden describes this post-Christmas mood. "Well, so that is that," he writes. "We've gotten through Christmas once again, perhaps in spite of ourselves. Once again, as in previous years, we have seen the actual vision and failed to do more than entertain it as an agreeable possibility," he writes. So it's back to the old world we left behind for just a bit on Christmas Eve. With the pandemic and global warming and dysfunctional politics, and perhaps like you, that makes me a bit weary. And yet the vision of Christmas Eve will not entirely go away. We almost wish it would. Auden concludes, To those who have seen the child, however dimly, however incredulously, the time being is, in a sense, the most trying time of all. What Auden describes is more subtle, more profound than what is popularly referred to as the post-Christmas blues. Like the wise men, for those who have seen the star, it will not easily fade away. The sense of wonder, the capacity to dream, the joy of that holy night continues to catch our imagination and won't go easily away. We still long to know it right here in the midst of our old routines, right here where we are and have always been, in a world that Christmas doesn't seem to have changed very much. Could it be that our world is really Herod's world, the Roman world, rather than the mysterious Eastern world of the wise men? Are we not more children of Herod than descendants of those starry-eyed stargazers? Do we not seek order, efficiency, control, rather than unclear, vague, formless, mystical naivete of the wise men? It seems that we live today in a world from which almost all the wonder has been drained away. We tend to have insulated and isolated ourselves from wonder, from imagination, from mystery, because I suspect it's unmanageable and impractical and finally useless. But it is precisely that wonder for which human hunger cries out today. Amid our scientific world, I find my soul unsatisfied and my heart yearning for something more. Don't you? And I experience it all around me. Some people flee to Eastern gurus or modern New Age cults. Fantasy literature and movies have become a major component of our entertainment. We hunger and we long for mystery. We wish and yearn for that which is greater than ourselves, for that which is beyond our human grasp, for affiliation with something that transcends technology. We experience the moral poverty of almost all political and social and economic systems. We watch powerless as this pandemic rages on, and we sense that the world is out of control. And we know that we must reach beyond this world for anything approximating hope. And beyond this world, there is only mystery and the wonder, the star. It was Albert Einstein who said, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious." And it is that mystery, that wonder, that capacity to dream that we celebrate through the story of the wise men at Epiphany. It is the awesome light that the wise men were shown that transcends all order and ethics and understanding. Being warned in a dream, the wise men decided to change course and go home another way. And so can we. We can resist the Herods of our time who try to trick us into the subtle cynicism of believing that wonder and dreams and imagination are the venues of children alone and not for so-called grown-up practical men and women. Contemporary Herods may be very smart, but they will not be very wise. Contemporary Herods are all of those people and institutions and cultural assumptions that kill the childlike wonder in all of us. Herods inside or outside us always say, "It can't be done, there is no way, you must never take a chance, everything you do must be useful and efficient, imagination is worth nothing, playful is wasteful, do not follow stars." To help you develop this kind of wisdom, you might just begin by doing something simple like taking a course in watercolor painting or getting season tickets to the symphony or the theater or read a book of poetry Or you might look much longer than usual at yourself in the mirror to ponder the mystery of yourself. Or you might write down every question you've ever had or were afraid to let yourself even ask, not to search for answers, but to live the mystery of the questions. Or you might get a copy of a Hubble photograph and wonder at our place in the universe. In short, we can decide to pay more attention to life. We can decide to listen more to the silence. We can decide not to be so hurried, to be so closed that we do not even see the star. The star shining in the face of our own children and grandchildren. The star shimmering in the joy and wonder of a snow-covered Madison this morning. I read recently about an Anglican bishop who had returned from a trip to Africa where he had discussed the issue of ordaining women with African bishops who were opposed to the idea. He made the following observation. Their objections seemed to be less theologically based than I had supposed. It was more that they could not imagine a woman in that role. They cannot do what they cannot imagine. That fundamental insight has to do with changing course and finding another way of going home for wise people. Because the sense of wonder and capacity to dream lets us have imagination, and imagination is a future-oriented, a creative function that has the ability to take past knowledge and project it into the not yet, in short, to follow a star. We don't know what it was like for the wise men when they arrived back home. We can only imagine. But their message at Epiphany is about changing course and going home another way, about avoiding Herod, but also about journeying with joy and wonder. It is about dreaming of new futures. It is about following the star of Christ. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Amen.